Hi everyone, this is Tony. I'm the Dungeon Master for D&D Raw, and with me today are the following players.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'll be playing Auric Fireforge, the Hill Dwarf Forge Cleric.
Hey, I'm Rachel, and I'm playing Dahlia Restrick, the Aesimar Phoenix Sorcerer.
Hey, this is Nick, and I will be playing Luvin Cromdell, the Half-Elf Alchemist Artificer.
Next time, we'll be Sharp and Quill, Episode 23. Join us now for Rumble Squad, Episode 2-15. Clear up a clerical issue. Last time, as the party completed some shopping and got a new mule and wagon, they rested in the city of Vunrim, where Luvin had strange dreams before awakening in the capital city of the Thessun Empire, Rumnaheim. While there, Auric learned that his old friend Anbra had started the Holy Forge Company in the capital city, unbeknownst to Auric, though she may have to sell it soon, as she has not been making as much profit as she had hoped. As the party figure out how to get out of this deal in the selling of the Holy Forge Company name, they must also learn what is happening with Luvin's pen pal, Vel.
Right outside, I'm going to ask Auric, do you have copies of the paperwork you filed?
No.
Ugh. Why do you not do things in duplicate or triplicate?
Because a dwarf's word is as good as anything.
So no, like, business seal or deed or something? I don't know how this works.
Basically, within the Thessun Kingdom, the way the paperwork would work is that you would turn it in, and then it is spread across the Thessun Kingdom that this is your company. So every city should have some sort of copy of the paperwork saying you own the name the Holy Forge Company. Now, outside the Thessun Kingdom, you can't control that.
Yeah. Obviously, no offense, dwarf, but dwarf's words are not everything, as I point to the off-brand Holy Forge Company sign.
We'll get this dealt with.
I do want to clarify, by the way, I'm not just saying that she has, like, amazing work. Some of her work surpasses what you've made, Auric.
Allegedly.
From what you yourself see in the shop. Not all of it. Some of your work is better than hers. But there were a few items of note that were surprisingly good. She also would have had different teachers than you.
She also does spend literally every day here working while you're traveling and fighting and doing other things and sermoning and, you know.
And literally trying to save the gods.
Yeah, that too.
Was Umbra's interpretation of the logo the same as Auric's?
Similar. It looks like the idea is still the same. It's just like the particular positioning of things is slightly off.
Okay, to the council chambers.
You guys travel through the city towards the city center where the massive halls of the council chamber are. Outside, you see dozens of guards patrolling and two standing before the main entrance. And as you walk up, they immediately bar your way. What's your business here?
Here to clear up a clerical issue. I am the cleric.
Well, that's nice. Who are you here to see? Come on.
The business council.
The business council is there. There's many people within the business council. You have to be more specific. Come on, come on.
The ones in charge of founding of businesses.
Do you have a specific dwarf that you are looking for, or are you just here because you want to gab with people? Come on.
No, I do not have a specific dwarf I am here to see.
Okay, then what do you want us? What message do you want us to send to the business council?
Need to clear up a clerical error.
And what's the clerical error?
Somebody has misappropriated then my business.
What's your business?
The Holy Forge Company.
Okay, I will go send someone to get the Holy Forge. You're looking for the Holy Forge Company?
No, I am the Holy Forge Company.
No, not you. I'm not talking to you right now. Go look up for the Holy Forge Company and see if you can find anything or any information on it. Thank you. Okay. And you see another dwarf just turns and leaves. Well, you can wait out here.
I'm going to wait here. I'm going to stand right there, like right in the way. Oh, Luvin, you want to ask about Vel?
Oh, I just have some letters to send through the Nebrasil Network. I hear this is where I'm supposed to do that.
I mean, you can send them here. Who are you sending them to?
This is one to a friend named Vel, and this is one to a friend named Borin.
Yeah, I'm going to get them for you. And he holds a hand out.
I will pass them.
Okay. This is through the Nebrasil Network.
Yes, it is. Name, Luvin Cromdell.
Through Luvin Cromdell. If there's any extra charge, we will charge you since you are going to be waiting here. He'll, like, kind of wave another dwarf over, hand the letters off to him, and...
Has anyone with the name Vel come through today? Or lately?
Who's Vel?
A dwarf in the city.
I haven't heard of any Vel. I don't know Vel.
What's your name?
My name is not important.
Well, I'm asking for it, so obviously it is important. How are we supposed to ask for somebody by name if you don't give us a name?
I'm here to make sure that the council and the council chambers are protected from people who have a little too much interest in them.
I assure you we have no interest in the actual council. We just want to get things cleared up. So, your name again, sir?
Roll persuasion.
That's a nat 20 for a 27.
Farda Weck of the Weck clan.
Nice to meet you. I'm Dahlia Resterick.
A pleasure.
How long do these matters usually take to get things sorted?
They take as long as they need to take.
Is there a waiting area where we should be, or is this where we should stand?
You can wait right here.
Can I order a coffee?
There's a few taverns off in the way if you want. I just assumed that, you know, you would want to actually wait for your various missives.
Yeah. I didn't know if you also have somebody retrieve coffee.
I'm not here to wait on you.
You might be, though.
You're here to wait for me.
Wait for versus wait on are two different things, sir. I'm just standing here staring back at him like, okay. Tapping my foot, flicking my fire.
Several minutes pass. The guard that sent the letters comes back and just nods. And seems you're all paid up, Luvin.
No letters came in for me?
No letters. Not that they told me. You just wanted the letters delivered.
Have him go check to see if there's more for you.
Yeah, could you check, just to be sure?
He just turns to look at you and, like, angles his head slightly.
It's very important to me, and I do appreciate, by the way, the quality dwarven hospitality that this city offers.
Rolls his eyes. Who's this? You want to look for a dwarf in the city? Is that what you want to look for? Because I can help you with that, maybe. Let's get you out of my hair faster.
Yeah, sure. That'd work as well.
What's the name?
Valdessa Meldwall.
Oh, the crazy dwarven woman. That's who you're looking for. I think she lives around here somewhere. Always trying to bother the council with things.
Great. If you could give me an address, I'd really appreciate it.
Why are you going to go bother her? Well, I guess if you go bother her, you're not bothering me.
Well, are we going to be here bothering you until we get the information we need?
Why does everyone think she's crazy?
She's constantly bothering people, and she keeps saying she's being followed, but there's no one there.
Have you looked into it?
I've had several of our guards in the city look into it.
How long would you estimate this has been going on?
A month? Weeks? I don't know. I don't care. She's just someone who harasses the council.
We're talking weeks to a month, not years. It's an important distinction.
Well, I mean, she's been harassing the council for years, but the whole people following her thing, that's been a little bit more recent. I think she's just trying to get attention between you and me. Just
well, probably trying to get attention because somebody is following her.
Annie, we find no proof of it.
Can we speak to the guards that investigated?
He just stares at you. Roll persuasion.
15.
Honestly, I don't even know who they were, but you can go ask her. She lives just a few ways down that street, and he'll actually give you an address.
I will write it down, make sure I have that information.
Quick question. As an investigation was opened, I'm assuming that there's some paperwork and a file on it, correct? Is there any chance we could see it?
Nope.
Why not?
It's not your business.
She's a friend of ours, therefore it is our business.
That's up to her whether she wants to pull the information herself. Not yours.
Me.
At about this point, one of the guards that went in comes back out and hands over this paperwork. Okay, Holy Forge Company, owned by Anbera Silverax and Auric Fireforge.
And Auric Fireforge? A dual ownership?
It's partially dual ownership. Anbera owns 75%. As she put all the money in, Auric owns 25%.
What's the date on these papers?
Flips through it a little bit. The 3rd of Neil.
So when would I...
You probably would have done it, like, maybe a week before.
There should have been an earlier version of this.
Turns the paper around. That's what I have. I don't know what you want to say. And looking at the paper, you do see everything he's mentioned, that it looks like it is primarily owned by Anbera Silverax.
Auric, what date did you file your paperwork?
I filed it on the 25th of Edwin.
Do you know who you filed it with?
Normally there's copies of these sent all throughout the kingdom when they're filed. Are you able to pull copies from somewhere else?
5 gold.
Surely it'd be less than that. I'm a priest, for crying out loud.
Roll persuasion.
So it's a natural 20. However, because of my amazing charisma, it's a 19.
I can do it for 2.
Fine.
You will hold a hand out, take the money. Go look and see if you can find anything on the Holy Forge Company in the other cities, says to one of the guards, who turns and walks away. That's going to take a little bit, though. Where do I find you? Or do you want us to sit out here for hours?
Just stand there. Right here.
Feel free. Out here, you are not a problem.
Oric, would you or Andalia, would you prefer that we get room and board at a tavern so that they have a place to forward the correspondence to us at?
Well, we're still waiting for your letters to see if you've had any letters come through as well.
Yeah, I guess that won't be too long. They're just checking. Neversol Network, that's always pretty quick.
They seem to be moving slow here, like most government offices.
Guard arrives, hands over a single letter. Farter takes it, holds it out to you, Luvin.
I take it.
It is from Vel.
I assume I'm all paid up and don't need to give you anything extra for that.
This is your mail.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want.
Great.
Light it on fire and throw it back at him. No.
I want to read it.
After you read it.
Okay, so now, do you all want to keep waiting here?
Well, why don't you read your letter first and see if there's anything else you need to send back? Because aren't yours sent, like, really fast? And if we're still here, we could send a letter that says, meet us here, and then she'll come here.
I do step off to the side a bit so that nobody can look over my shoulder as I'm reading the letter, because it's private mail.
While you're doing that, I'll pull Oric aside for a second.
Looking at the letter real quick, Luvin, it's not long, but it continues to comment that someone is harassing her. Someone's following her. She can't seem to find proof. No one believes her, but she's sure someone's harassing her.
Okay.
She's found, like, stuff in her home moved. Swears someone is following her when she goes home at night. She doesn't know what to do. And no one believes her.
So I would have pulled Oric aside and been like, so where are we planning on staying? Because if, you know, Schmuck over here needs to send us stuff, we gotta tell him where to send it.
Do I know what the nearest inn is to where we are now?
You know that the temple to Yadamine will house you for free.
We can stay at the temple.
Alright. I'll even listen to one of your sermons.
Oh good, I have just the one prepared.
Oh, of course you do. I'll go back to, was it Farduwick?
Farderweck.
So, we're going to be staying at the Temple to Yadamine, and kind of motion to our decked out Yadamine cleric. That's where you can send all of our correspondences.
Okay.
If not, we'll see you tomorrow. Maybe I'll bring you a croissant, put you in better spirits.
I always like food, that's true. But you can go if you're done.
Maybe I won't go.
I can stay. Just out to here. He's just smiling. Obnoxiously smiling.
I will return the obnoxious smile.
Yeah, okay, I'm done with this. Thanks. Have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, we'll go to Vel's house.
Okay.
Can I do a quick thing? When he said her last name, can I do a history check?
Yes, you can.
11?
An orc.
17.
Dahlia Meldwall. Not particularly ringing any bells. You may have heard the name before, but it's nothing like it that stands out to you.
Okay.
Oric, what you know of the Meldwalls, having lived in Rumnaheim for all of your life, is that the clan was almost utterly disgraced.
Oh.
Long ago, there was a clan leader that kind of drove things into the ground, and they never fully recovered from it. They had several members that kind of went into, like, trying to do research into monsters and all that, but by that point, it was a little too late, and most of them have been discredited as far as a clan. You know, there are several that still try to make a name for themselves, but the name Meldwall is not super favorable.
Luvin, how much do you know about this pen pal of yours?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, she told me originally that she was a politician in the city, but the recent letters say no, apparently she wasn't, so I'm still processing that. Honestly, I'm a bit hurt. I'm not used to my pen pals lying to me. I have more questions than answers for you right now, Oric.
So I'll go ahead and share basically the history that I know of the Meldwalls.
She told me that she was always really interested in extraplanar research, and that seems to align with what you're saying about the Meldwalls lately pivoting toward more research. So maybe there's some truth to her letters to me.
Perhaps, but it sounds like much of their work has been discredited.
This is troubling, to say the least. But first things first, I'm going to try and set my personal feelings aside. I just want to make sure my friend's okay.
Very well.
So you guys eventually arrive outside a small home. Looks intimate and cozy. built with some, not stone, but wood, dark wood. And though it does have some gray stone decorations around it, you see tall rectangular windows that, you know, brighten up the interior in a kind of asymmetric design. And this is the address you were given.
Not a stone house? Man, what a weirdo.
I'm knocking.
So you knock on the door, hear from the other side. Who's there?
Hi, Val. It's Luvin.
You hear click, shink, click, shink, 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 click, shink, as like several things seem to be unlocking and moving.
Uh-huh.
And then the door inches open and you see two dwarven women. The one by the door is little under 4 foot, a bit bulky, pretty muscular. See a crisp, clean shirt, simple pair of pants, long red hair kept up in a ponytail, and large, thick, round spectacles. The woman behind her, who is holding a crossbow trained on the door, has sharp gray eyes that are extremely piercing. Very attractive dwarven woman with tight-fitting clothing that seems to further accentuate her frame. Her black hair is done up in a large beehive-style do. Luvin. The woman with the large spectacles is the one that speaks to you.
Luvin Cromdell.
Yeah, from the Nebrasil Network.
Oh. Kind of glances around and sees Auric and Dahlia behind you.
These are my friends. Well, friend and cousin. I've mentioned Auric in my letters, and Dahlia, my cousin, I started traveling with more recently. It's nice to meet you.
What have I told you about my political aspirations?
You told me you were a politician. You've shared multiple speech drafts with me. I've given my thoughts.
Name one speech.
I name one and go into great detail on the edits that I suggested.
It's okay, Opal. I think it's really him.
You see the woman in the back lowers the crossbow.
Is this a bad time to ask for a hug? I imagine this with more hugs.
Door flings open and she wraps her arms around your waist and just goes, I need some help, Luvin.
I will, wrap arms around
top of her head.
Like kind of top of the head to shoulders deal?
Yeah, aim more for the shoulders, but yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it. Should we come inside for this?
Yeah. Let's come on in. We have a lot to talk about.
And she will wait till you are all inside before closing the door and beginning a series of chains and locks that are built into the other side. So as you enter in their homes, you see initially just a very simple kind of dining / living area. There's a couch against one wall and a table and a couple of chairs. Fairly cramped quarters. Particularly for Dahlia and Luvin. Auric, you're fine. The ceiling does not feel low for you.
It's nice and comfy.
Luvin, you are, like, you can feel your hair just touching the wooden beams of the ceiling.
Tickles.
Opal kind of has lowered the crossbow and just,
oh yeah, well, come in. Please sit down. Just go ahead.
And she'll gesture towards the couch. She goes and turns the two chairs by the table to face you guys, and Vel is kind of like rubbing her hands together, and she sits and just kind of doesn't stop staring at you, Luvin.
Oh, do I have something on my face?
No, Luvin. It's just, I never thought I'd meet one of my pen pals, honestly.
It was always my goal to meet all of them, at least my favorite ones, and, well, you're on that list, so it happened sooner than I expected, definitely, but here we are.
Opal does like a half grin towards Vel and just says, told you he was interested in you. You always said like he was curious about your political machinations and your political theories. And she's like, shh.
Of course I was curious about you. I mean, your speeches are great. You clearly have a really sharp mind.
She just blushes slightly.
Thank you, Luvin. Yeah, I've tried to do what I can, but it's been rather difficult as a Meldwal. I don't know if you know.
I'm starting to get a picture of it, but I could use some elaboration. Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, a part of me kind of hoped that you never would kind of come this way, because it was nice to have someone who didn't know of our history, but it is good to see you, Luvin.
You too. I wish you'd been more comfortable to tell me more, but I assume there are good reasons. It sounds like you're in some trouble, so I know that I've learned recently the hard way that people's secrets sometimes are important.
Opal is currently just like staring at Vel and just eventually just goes,
Are you going to tell him or not? Like, seriously, like, he's here to help you, so go ahead and help. And she's like, okay. So this started happening when I was at the council. I was trying to make an appeal for a particular push in order to make better representation and relationships with the Solanins. And, well, I overheard one of the elders talking about, you know, dealing with a rival business. But it happens all the time here, and I'm sure, and she looks over at you, Oryk. Are you from Rumnaheim, or one of the other cities?
Aye, I be from Rumnaheim.
So you know, there's all the time certain elders and clans always fighting for, you know, supremacy within their own businesses.
Aye, that be the way of things around here.
Well, I heard him talking about it. It was a Silverstone, a Gardein Silverstone, and he was, you know, just commenting to another family that he was going to take care of the Greybeards. They're both have this bakery shops. Each of them compete against each other, but I feel like I've been kind of being followed ever since I he noticed I overheard him.
So, Tony, you said the Greybeards? So how would they be related to, like, Bairn? Or how would I know? Because you said they were bakers?
You know, Bairn actually split from most of his clan in terms of what he wanted to do. Because he felt Yadumin called to him.
Right.
But yes, Bairn had told you that most of his clan did not have the gift that Yadumin had blessed him with. And therefore, he felt the need to continue to pass on Yadumin's blessings to any who would listen.
Okay.
How long ago was this, Val?
It was a couple of months ago. I feel like something he's been watching for a while, and, well, I don't know. I just, ever since then, I felt like someone is following me, and that they've been in my house, but the guards haven't found anything, and they haven't noticed anybody watching me, and the Iron Oligarchy's always found me a bit of a nuisance.
How long have you been politically involved?
Most of my life.
And when you overheard this, did you get the sense they saw you or knew in some way that you overheard?
Oh, I'm fairly certain Gardein saw me. He didn't look particularly happy, but he just kind of walked about his own business.
Have you tried confronting him about it?
He tends to keep to himself, and he says, you know how things are. They're always trying to compete with each other. Maybe commented to me that I better not say anything bad about his own establishment. Wouldn't want any bad publicity, and, well.
So, I'm gonna turn to Opal and say, so what is your relation to Vel here?
She raises an eyebrow.
Vel and I have been married for years. We take care of each other.
I see.
She speaks of you often.
She just smiles a little bit.
So have you seen any of these people following Vel?
Opal kind of gives a sideways glance to Vel a little, and then just...
No. Personally, I haven't actually seen anybody following her. I did have the feeling that someone was in our house at one point, but I found nothing.
No evidence.
Not that I saw.
Nothing missing?
Nothing missing.
Would you mind if we took a look around? I mean, I doubt we could find something if you looked really thoroughly, but another few sets of eyes never hurts, right?
Roll a persuasion check.
Okay.
And the whole time, I'm just sitting on the couch listening and flicking my fire.
20 total.
Opal just kind of like shrugs.
Wait, feel free to look around if you want. I mean, anywhere here is fair game. Just stay out of our bedroom.
Okay.
Or at least let us know if you're going to walk in so we can make sure it's clean.
I'm guessing that's not where you thought the break-in was happening anyway, because you were probably in the bedroom at the time. Just wild guess.
Yep.
Cool. Then no need to look.
So you're taking a look around at home?
Yeah.
Can I get up and look around?
Yeah, anyone can get up and look around.
Well, is it just like an investigation?
Yes. Totals, Dahlia.
6.
Oryk.
17.
Luven.
16.
Oryk and Luven, as you're searching around, you notice a lot of fairly plain, you know, you walk through the living room, everything's kind of kept fairly tidy. A few things more just haphazardly tossed about. There's a blanket here, a couple of pillows off in the corner that look like they were just tossed to the side. Nothing out of the ordinary. You move from room to room. Eventually, you know, you arrive in a small, small kitchen, very cramped space, and you're kind of searching around cupboards. And Oryk, As you kind of, you know, peek into one cupboard, there's several pots and pans kind of tucked away in there, and you start to close the door when something catches the corner of your eye.
My superior dwarven eyes, they see something.
You lean back down again and take a look kind of up towards the inside top of this cupboard, and behind a few pans, it looks like kind of some strange lump tucked away and stuck to the inside top corner, which, considering most of this is wood and maybe a little bit stone, it shouldn't be a lump like that. And start to shift stuff out of the way to get a better view. And you see it's not like it's moving, but it's definitely some sort of plant-like material. And you take a little bit of closer look and you realize it's mold. Brown mold. Tends to rot things away.
Oh, that's fun. Would I have any idea why it would be in there? Like, if they left their cereal in the cupboard for too long? Or is this something magical in nature? Or something else entirely weird together?
Brown mold would not form within places like this. I mean, the area is kept usually pretty warm. It tends to be found in very damp areas, in caverns, not in homes. And part of the thing that makes it somewhat dangerous is it absorbs heat.
It absorbs heat?
Slowly. So fire does nothing to destroy it.
Gotcha.
Well, I'm out, guys.
It's like my one purpose is ruined.
I got some other stuff.
In large quantities, it is very deadly to people. In small quantities, it can just make you feel very sick.
So is it like a black mold?
Kinda.
What's its rate of growth, generally? Is it rapid?
Fairly. But the way that it's there, it doesn't look like it grew there. Like it's been placed there.
I will call over Luvin and the others and point out what I have found.
That's weird.
Maybe you can collect it, Luvin, and experiment on it.
Tony, would this have any alchemical value?
Might I remind you, it's immune to heat.
So yes.
Dolly, are you still playing with fire?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, still, like, absent-mindedly.
Do you come look at it?
Yeah.
Okay. It kind of shifts slightly when you come to look at it towards you, when you have the fire in your hand. Not a lot, but, like, kind of inches down away, like it's moving a little bit closer.
Okay.
I could collect this. I would have my uses for it. If you want, it could serve as evidence if you wanted someone to come take a look.
Evidence against what?
No one in particular, but this had... This shouldn't be here.
Wouldn't that make me look bad, Luvin? That I have it here?
Why would you have it here?
I don't know, but this is something that could be potentially dangerous, correct? And she kind of like shifts her glasses on her face a little bit and stares closer at it.
To the two of you, yes. If this went unfound, have you been feeling sick lately?
No, I haven't been feeling sick, but think about it this way. If someone with political machinations has something like this because she, you know, is not being believed and that she's being followed. Yes, I can show it and they might believe, oh, look, someone is actually after her. That's great. Or someone could think I might have planted this myself.
So would you prefer if I just remove it right now?
That would probably be for the best.
I will carefully vial and stopper this mold, Tony, and wipe down the surface area really well to make sure there are no residual traces.
I'll say because of your experience in alchemy and all that, no check needed. And being aware of what it is, and that you already commented as part of your normal daily attire, you have nice, good gloves. You're able to scoop it all in with no problem.
Excellent.
Hey, Luvin, could I see that for just a second? I'm very curious.
Sure, just careful not to drop it.
Yeah, so I want to hold it in one hand, and basically with my other hand, like, ignite, you know, like a little stick, and basically just move it around the vial and see how it reacts towards the, like, if it follows it.
It starts to grow and fill the vial even more and starts to fill the container.
Immediately put it out. Yeah, before it starts getting too much. Like,
oh.
I should not hold on to this and give it back to Luvin.
So Luvin, as a note on the property, it's not immune to heat. It absorbs and grows from it. As in, it gets stronger from heat.
There is no heat in my bag of holding.
I'm very intrigued by it.
Vel is also, like, staring very focused at it with you, Luvin, and, like, kind of rubbing her chin a little bit and shifting her glasses every so often as she just seems to be pondering and thinking.
Remind me, when do you think someone broke in?
Kind of shakes her head at it. About a day or so ago?
That would explain why this was still small and containable. What time of day did that happen?
By the time that we think someone came in, we noticed it in the evening.
I'll just say, I'm trying to see generally, as specifically as possible, actually, what time of day this might have occurred. Because if they were to return to the scene of the crime, you know, could they be caught in the act returning around the same time?
What if this wasn't necessarily meant for me?
Who else would it have been for?
Not that this was not planted here, but what if this was planted on purpose?
To frame you?
Politics can be brutal here, Luven, sometimes.
Tony, can I roll insight? Just on the truthfulness of what they've told us so far?
Yeah, roll insight.
11.
As far as you can tell, everything they've told you so far has been truthful.
So, Luven, I think... Luven, Orc, everybody. I think if it was planted as either a means for trying to mess up your political endeavor somehow, or as retribution towards, you know, hearing what you did, I think we should definitely keep it quiet that we have it, because I think if they are trying to frame you, they're going to try to call you out and say you have something illegal, your house is going to get searched, they're not going to find it. That would expose them without us having to do anything.
Huh. I am still very new to this lying thing, but that makes a lot of sense.
What if they use it to hurt someone? Are we just going to let them hurt someone and then point it to me and expose themselves that way?
Well, how can they point it to you if we have it now? It's not going to point back to you because it's gone.
Not that, but what if that's not the only one?
Well, guess we gotta turn your house upside down.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what if they have more and intend to use it on someone else?
I mean, other than us going around searching everybody, there's no way to know if it's been planted elsewhere.
I guess we have suspects, don't we?
They work in bakeries, which would be warm. I don't think that they would be able to control it very easily if it's in a warm environment.
Well, who said anything about control?
So possibly Silverstone wants to use it on Greybeard, and because it's a bakery, that would light up real quick.
And perhaps ruin them.
So we should probably go to the Greybeard's bakery first.
Oh, that's the Mary Berry bakery.
How close are they to one another?
A few streets down from each other. They're not too far.
Tony, distance-wise, how close would they be? Less than 1,000 feet?
What are you preparing to cast?
Locate object.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we should go check that out.
So the bakeries are fairly close to here, right?
Aye.
Then it may be beneficial to try and make sure that there aren't any others located here as well. Are we ready to go and investigate?
Yeah, we shouldn't delay, given how dangerous this stuff is. Hey, Vel, Opal, how do we keep up the charade that we haven't found it? What? I don't know, do you pretend to be sick? Would that do it?
All I could think of is, will he keep doing what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right, but if it was supposed to make you sick...
But we don't know how long till it would have made them sick. It could be 2 days, it could be a week, because it depends on how much they cook and how much heat they produce within the house. So if they're not cooking, looking to Opal and Vel, like if they're going out to the tavern instead for dinner, it's not going to progress any further, which means there won't be any growth. So, yeah, basically, I'm gonna look to Vel and Opal, you know, avoid any unnecessary heat, and that way it would help keep the perception that it hasn't been found alive, basically. Because if you're not over here lighting stuff on fire, there's no reason that would get bigger, which means if somebody is watching the house, they're not gonna have any reason to go, they should be sick by now.
We are ready to proceed?
I think so. Do your thing, Oryk.
And that is where we're going to leave this episode for today.
Hey, thank you all for listening. Please share this with your friends and follow us on Twitter at RulesAsWritten, or check out our website, dndraw.com, and feel free to email any questions to the DM at dm@dndraw.com. Also, subscribe and leave us a review or comment anywhere podcasts are found. And may Yadamin always keep your hammer honed.